8:13 on Tri-Cities Talk Radio. Carlin Ellick with you here, live and local, AM 910 WJCW. And joining us this morning, as he does every Wednesday about this time, Bill Hall, the real estate guy from Premier Homes and Properties. Good morning, Mr. Hall.
Good morning, Mr. Swan. Good morning, Ellick. How are you this morning?
Doing wonderful.
We're live and local together.
That's right. Here we are.
How cute is that? Well, Carl, I missed you not being in the studio.
No, well, thank you.
Welcome back, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And it's good to see your smiling face.
We definitely miss your input. So, Hurricane Ian.
Yeah.
So people ask me, what do all those people do that lost their houses?
What do they do?
Tell me what they do. I mean, already in Florida, we were undersupplied by homes on a national level, and Florida extras. Mm-hmm. Undersupplied, $100 billion worth of estimated damages from Hurricane Ian, and what are they going to do for homes?
Yeah.
And people ask me that question all the time. I'm not sure I know, mm-hmm. you know, how to answer that. Other than the rental market will increase, obviously, but the problem with Florida is the rental market was already so out of whack, it was not even funny.
Mm-hmm.
People were paying 40% and 50% of their income towards their mortgage payments. There's a lot of people in Florida that are paying very high, you know, amounts of money towards mortgage payments, and their rents are the same. They're occupied for a 2-bedroom apartment in Florida. The average is about $2,000 a month. I mean, it's crazy. So what do people do? They're staying in hotels when they can afford to. It's at $170 a night over there.
Mm-hmm.
They're living in shelters. There's thousands of people in shelters in Florida still. You know, and we take this area, our area, so for granted. And as I'm saying this, I'm looking outside and looking at the sun, beautiful, hitting the trees, mm-hmm. and the weather is nice and cool. We call it Ellick Frisky weather. And, it's a beautiful thing, and we're buffered in the mountains here from any of these, from a lot of this natural, you know, mm-hmm. storms. I just can't imagine what these people think. They left their house in Florida and drove someplace on the areas that had to be evacuated, and to come back on Friday and see their house destroyed. I mean, I don't even know what that would feel like.
Or now many are finding, of course, if it wasn't destroyed, but they had water damage, that mold is beginning to take over Florida.
Oh, Florida, because it's so tropical.
Sure.
I mean, mold starts the day that you get wet.
And you know? There goes you in something where your home has been already damaged by something big and you have mold. You can't mitigate that. You're going to have to start over.
It's very hard. And our prayers and my heart bleeds for those people. That will just drive more people to our area. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you.
We're seeing
still a large influx of people moving to our area. Of course, it hasn't been what the pandemic drove in here, you know, brought with it, but it's been still a lot more. I mean, our value, you know, it's increased our home value prices, and I'm expecting to see it continue, especially with what's happened with that hurricane.
I mean, yeah, I know. You talk about the influx of people to the region here. I can recall after Katrina, there were a large number of folks who came here, you know, seeking relief from the problem they had at the time, hoping maybe to come back. Many of those stayed in the area.
And I came here as a result of Hurricane Wilma.
Mm-hmm.
That was my last straw. I said, after Wilma, I said, that's it.
Wilma was nasty,
yeah.
too.
I said, after Wilma, I said, I'm moving. I am mm-hmm. absolutely moving. And Ellick, you living in North Carolina, did you ever experience any of the storms?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, our last big storm, Michael, and then the other mm-hmm. one, we literally got flooded in several places in Fayetteville, North Carolina, which you wouldn't think that that's a big flood area, but a lot of rivers over there overflowed, and just where you see normal business things like big shopping centers and stuff like that just completely underwater.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it, you know, subsided, you know, there's the place again. And
oh my gosh.
You just think about the people that owned businesses
that had their life savings invested in inventory and their buildings.
I know it's expensive, but only 5% of Floridians had flood insurance.
You know why? It costs so much. The whole state is a flood factor.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Florida basically sits at sea level everywhere you go. And it's clearly obvious. Go to the beach and then go look 2 miles down west of there. And you see it's still flat like it was at the beach.
So, but only 5% have protection against water.
I know, because the cost of insurance has
incrementally
increased, compounded year after year in the higher risky areas, and it's put people out of the whack to be able to afford it.
And I would probably suggest from this that I know a number of insurance companies prior to the arrival of Ian, I mean weeks and months ago, had already left Florida. But this is the ones that are remaining. I know they do have a court of last resort that the government of Florida runs
sure,
there. But,
sure.
You know, this is going to be a tremendous hit to... pardon.
With you, Carl. Pardon. It's going to be a tremendous hit for everybody,
yeah,
especially the people in Florida. But keep in mind that when one area loses, the whole country will make it up because the insurance rates will cross the board usually go up as a result of that.
I know.
So that helps buffer the areas that are hit. They don't pay like 10 times more than, you know, other areas. But you know, it's gotten to be where, you know, life is tough enough with inflation and interest rates going up and all the stuff like that. And there's wars over outside of our area. But then when you get hit with a hurricane that's localized like that, that takes an entire state and disables it, basically,
mm-hmm.
2.6 million people still don't have power there. I mean, something that we just take for granted coming here, and it's warm and it's comfortable and I can see really good. but we've got power here, you know,
yeah.
and my heart bleeds for those people. And what does that mean for the long-term effect of the housing market? Well, I think it's going to continue to put a strain on Florida, of course, but other areas that are going to be absorbing some of the people that are leaving evacuating Florida for good and not coming back because they don't want to hit by another hurricane. And now they have no reason to be there because they lost their house. That's not to even mention how many people live on boats. You know, there's a ton mm-hmm. of people in Florida mm-hmm. that live on sailboats and motorboats as a residence.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw the pictures of those boats
oh,
all
yeah.
stacked on each
mm-hmm.
other when the storm surge came. And that's it's a horrible thing. It's horrible for those people. And I'd like us all to just take a moment today and just pray for these people
mm-hmm.
out there
yeah.
and how they're going to get through the next 6 months of their life is going to be very challenging. And then rejoice in the fact that we live here where it's safe and that we have a beautiful scenery, a beautiful people, and people, can drive here and live here and be safe and it costs relatively low in comparison to other parts of the country. We're so blessed to have that.
No doubt.
Look, it brought Alec here.
Mm-hmm.
So Carl and I were already here, but then Alec showed up. He says, "Hey, you got to let me in on this good thing. I'm not going to just be left out."
Did you notice when I moved here, that's when all the values of the houses just went through the roof?
Timing, right?
Yeah, I don't think that's an accident. I think they heard I was moving here and was like, we got to get there with Ellen.
Well, so let's talk about what the future looks like.
Okay,
and the real estate future locally and on economically, I mean, nationally.
Globally,
we don't know. I mean, globally is still a challenge. I mean, they're still talking about that global recession that we talked about, mm-hmm. and I don't know how that's going to play out, but I do know the interest rates will continue to go up. Now, they're not going to
go up much more.
Well, they can, actually.
They can. That's going to tip inflation around the world even further worser.
I agree. But what we're expecting to see is a moderate increase in inflation, I mean, in interest rates going into 2023. In 2023, they're expecting just not to the level that we've just experienced, mm-hmm. but just a moderate increase.
Mm-hmm.
So we may see 7% interest, home mortgage.
For fixed 30s,
right? We may see 8%. I mean, that 8% would not be uncommon if you look across the board. There was 8% all over the place mm-hmm. in our history, you know. So that's what we may see. Now, what does that really mean? Well, as the interest rates go up, it takes the buying power away from the consumer.
Yep.
Basically, you buy less house for more money. That's really what it amounts to. And as rates go up, if they go up like, say, 1 percentage point, well, that may increase the overall premium by 12 to 15%, depending on where you are. So I mean, how many people can afford a 2% would be a 30% increase in your monthly payment.
That's going to put the quietus on the market for a while.
It could. Now, the good news is that we listed Bill and Nancy's Russell's house.
Remember, yeah.
Remember the Russells, mm-hmm. and they're great listeners. We love you guys. I know it's going to be a tough day for you today because every hour of today there's a showing going on in their house. They live at 921 on Miller Crest. It's all over the internet. You can see it. I just put it in the system yesterday and immediately had buku amount of showings. And like I said, there's going to be shillings every hour today, all day long. And Nancy and Bill, my heart goes out to you guys. If you need a place to hang out, you can stop at my house and hang out with Max because you're going to definitely need some place to go today. And I hope we get it under contract today. You know,
yeah,
that's
there
a $400,000 beautiful stately home. Beautiful stately home. The other thing is, got a listing coming up today on, in Johnson City on Mimosa. So Mimosa is going to be a nice $200,000 home coming on the market today, and I expect to see a lot of excitement over that as well.
Can these be viewed at your website?
They can at premierhomestn.com. Yeah.
Okay. Very
good. 921 Millercrest. You can Google it, put it in my website, easy to find, premierhomestn.com, and see that beautiful home. And then Mimosa, when it gets listed this afternoon, or later this morning, rather, then it'll also be available for you to see, too. And it's a gorgeous home, a good value for $200,000 behind that Peerless, you know, where Peerless was located there, back there. So it's really nice, quiet city street, double lot, three-bedroom, one-bath, beautiful home, you know.
Folks want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Well, you can call my cell number. My number is 423-946-7575, or you can call my office number, which is 530-7077. But the 946-7575 is definitely the best number. 423-946-7575 is the best number to get a hold of me.
There you go. Bill Hall, the Real Estate Guy, Premier Homes and Properties, sponsoring this portion of the program. Always a lot of fun, very informative, and we'll talk to you next week.
I can't hardly wait.